Hello and welcome, dear listeners. I hope you're having a wonderful day. My name is Noor Banu Hijazi. I am a proud VCU School of the Arts in Qatar graduate. And today I have the honor of being the host of today's audio interview, as well as talking to our amazing guests, which I will be introducing to you in a bit. This audio interview is a retrospect on the design conference, Tasmim, that takes place at VCUQ every 2 years. So sit back and relax as we go through a nice stroll through memory lane. Tasmim Doha 2017, Analog Living in a Digital World. This was the first Tasmim conference that I have attended, but also the first design-related conference that I have attended in Qatar. I felt that the conference was structured in a way that encouraged me to participate in the different activities being offered. My experience was made even better being surrounded by members of the VCU Arts Qatar community. Overall, it was an awesome experience. Looking back at it, for me, seeing creative people coming together and creating such an event made me realize that collaborations and networking doesn't have to be so formal and/or follow a certain model. Collaborations could be on a smaller scale, experimental and super fun. Our guests today are the co-chairs of this edition in order of speaking. Joining us from Richmond, Virginia via Zoom is artist, author, and educator John D. Freyer. Teaching at VCU Arts Qatar, we have Michael Peroni, assistant professor at the Painting and Printmaking Department, and Marco Bruno, associate professor at the MFA Department. We would like to highlight the support of Margarita Zuniga, Community Relations Coordinator at VCU Arts Qatar for Tasmim Edition 2017, who isn't here today.
How are you both doing today? Oh, I mean, all three of you. I'm so sorry, John.
No, it's okay.
Oh my God, that's so rude of me.
Well, this is actually great because this is the nature of the kind of way that we had to work throughout the creation of our Tasmim, is that we were working remotely and working on Zoom working on Skype. What was the other? We also use WhatsApp. Okay, we were using WhatsApp. Everything that could connect us internationally, we had our hands in.
Well, maybe before we even answer that, I'll just say I'll augment what John was saying about the way that this is similar to how we worked through the internet and with John having to wake up early often. And that was because although Richmond is always involved in Tasmim, this was the first time where there was an actual co-chair based in Richmond, and John was that person. And so it really forced a true collaboration between this campus and the home campus, whereas in the past it wasn't. And even since then, I don't think it's ever had such integration between the two campuses, which was amazing and brought a lot of riches to Qatar, but at the same time created a lot of challenges, and communicating was one of them.
Okay, there is another thing that I think should be explained before we start talking about Tasmim. I mean, I've been here, I've seen now 4 Tasmim, I think. So the one that I co-chair was the third one, and that I attended. I attended my Tasmim as well. So there was a big difference between the first two and this one, that we were basically asked to shrink the program quite a lot. So our Tasmim is half of what I have experienced before, because of many reasons. I mean, we could go into detail, but I maybe it's not necessary. But there was a change of administration, there was different leaderships. So Tasmim was not regarded as much as it was before, in a way. So we had to adapt to it. And I think this was one of the biggest challenges, to adapt a conference that was always traditionally incredibly playful and engaging with the community into something that was more of a high-profile speaker coming to deliver talk with a small component of workshop because of the time frame. So that was one of the biggest challenge. And I think looking back, it was okay. I think we managed very well to go through the challenge. But I think it was something that really affected the way that the conference was structured.
Well,
just to give you a remember, the first Tasmin I saw was the biggest conference ever.
It
was 8 days.
Oh, wow.
with 1 day of rest, because I think you need it. And it was 5 days of workshop, 1 day of rest, and 2 days of conference.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Involving four buildings in Education City. That was really the grandeur, like the French grandeur, done by Tom and Johan back in 2013. Then the conference that you probably, no, you didn't attend, but in 2015, the one that follow up was cut to 5 days only, and then looked like a huge cut to us already. So, and then we came and it was 2 days only, our conference, right? It was only on 2 days. Okay. So we could see that but it's good. I think it's good that the format is always different, that is experimenting new way of organizing an event like this one, which is now very important, I think, in Qatar.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, I think that presaged, you know, conversations that almost every school right now is having in terms of looking at things and looking at how do you do more with less and how do you deal with different budget changes. And that was something that we had to respond to on the fly throughout the planning for this. And I think, you know, we wanted to make sure that people from both campuses could meet each other, get involved, participate in workshops, you know, be exposed to new ideas and new information from around the globe. And, you know, I think we did that within the budgetary constraints. I think we achieved the thing that we were trying to do. And I think, you know, I think actually, you know, the analog living in a digital world, you know, really does predict the moment that we're in, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I think in COVID, in the space that we're in now, where we're all alone together, you know, you have to, you know, we are living in this analog space in this house that I'm in, but the only way for me to connect is through this. And part of that is the way that we had to work to make the thing happen, right? Like a true, you know, one of the things that I think happened with this is that because they had a person on the VCU campus that was engaging with them throughout the course of the development, you know, I thought about things that would affect my colleagues in a way that, you know, I could have, you know, as just a visitor, I could have, you know, just attended and made sure things happened. And as a co-chair, I really had to be aware of all the things that we were bringing with us. And you know, I don't know where I'm going with that, but.
Well, I mean, just to follow that thought up, like some of the, much of the events were simulcast, streamed live to the Richmond campus. And part of that was to just, even though they were at strange times of the day and there weren't that many people maybe watching, but it was just the idea to have that connection open. And I think, you know, what... John thinking of that because he wanted his community to be connected became an important part of the conference.
And, you know, part of that budget cut, too, was that there were going to be less VCU art students from Richmond going to Qatar. So, you know, that was how do we make it so that there's a way for people to interact and engage? So, I mean, one of the innovative things I think we did was we tried to essentially have a portal running to the VCU Arts Depot for the duration of Tasmim. So anytime Tasmim was running, there was something there, even if somebody was, you know, just cleaning the floors at late at night at Richmond. And that wasn't always like the line would go down or the Skype would drop and then we would set it up in the morning. But it was this thing where there was, you know, 2 or 3 hours or 4 hour blocks of time where whatever was happening, you know, on your side was also happening on the Richmond side. So, you know, I think, again, it kind of predates the kind of living that we're doing. You know, one of the things I think about is that, you know, when we started working on this, it was kind of difficult to coordinate all our schedules and to be at the right place at the right time and to have the technology work, right, be it Skype or whatever we were using. And, you know, here we are years later and, you know, even someone's grandparent can connect to a Zoom mm-hmm. call on the date and time that it's expected, right? So, you know, we were kind of doing the legwork to get us to a place where we are now.
Well, okay, so I think I'll move on to my next question, which is, so what convinced you to take on the challenge to become co-chairs of Tasmim?
An email from Michael.
Okay.
Like, that was what convinced me.
Maybe we'll tell a little bit of the pre-story, which was that we had just gotten a new dean, and the original call for Tasmim proposals, no one responded. There were no applications put in, as far as I remember. Or if there were, it was very few, and they weren't of interest to the committee, but I don't think there were any submitted. So this new dean kind of had a part of a faculty meeting. It may have even been a special meeting to address Tasmim, I can't remember, where he basically said, we've got to do this conference, not on my watch, is it not going to happen? You know, so we need somebody to step up and, you know, submit a proposal. And so I kind of took that as a challenge to, you know, answer that call of my new dean. And so I started to work with John, who happened to be in town right at that time. And or maybe he came shortly after when the idea had already been percolating between me and another colleague who has since had to drop out of the planning. But in any event, it was kind of became fortuitous that John happened to be visiting, had areas of expertise with digital realm, which to me was less of my area. So he became a consultant on the short term, and then that evolved into a chairmanship, if I'm remembering mm-hmm. correctly, John.
Yeah, I think I was in the middle of my residency at... So I was in the middle of my Fanoon residency, and I think we were just having breakfast on a Saturday, and you were talking about that there was that there was this call, but nobody wanted to do it, and I was like, I'll do it. Right? I think the plan was hatched over coffee, which is pretty appropriate.
Oh, wow.
And then, of course, I can't remember, Marco, you came in pretty early, but and we weren't even officially given the conference until Marco came in. So that was one of the stipulations, was that there had to be another VCUQ faculty as a co-chair. Okay. They didn't want to just have me here and John there. Mm-hmm. So I approached Marco, probably a little bit desperate, but he... you know, took it very gracefully and agreed, even though it had already been kind of, I mean, it was by no means anything was really decided, but we kind of had the theme and we had some loose ideas, and I can't really remember, but he did come on in that capacity and then, you know, of course, had a great impact from that point on.
Okay.
As a result of all these events, we started very late. I mean, traditionally, a Tasmim is assigned almost 2 years in advance, like the World Cup, almost like any big event that you have a lot of time for planning. We had less than a year because I was contacted in the summer and I remember I was in Seoul, so it was June probably. Yeah. And then the conference happens in March. the following year. So it's like 9 months. We had to make a baby in while everybody has 2 years. We had only 9 months to do that. Oh. And that was a big challenge. And on top of all the other challenges that we had with the administration, not really kind of supporting it, but we had in mind a different conference from what we had seen in the past, and we had to do something else. That was fun, but it took a while to understand how to do it.
So there were many like preliminary meetings, even though, as I mentioned, we got a late start with the application process because there were no original calls, and then we finally submitted one, and then, you know, there was time where they considered ours and maybe someone else's. And then I had to like continually do presentations to like the senior team. And they would come back with concerns, and then I would modify it and talk with John. Oh, we can only do this. Oh, now they're saying only this. And then at some point, Marco came in, and it became this negotiation where we really had to, you know, at once jump through a lot of hoops that the administration was putting up. And at the same time, we're losing time. And that was a real crunch. So it was very challenging.
You know, I think one of the challenges of working, you know, remotely is like you have to be flexible, right? And you have to be adaptable, and you have to be able to like, you know, I mean, there was one of my favorite moments. I don't know if this is my favorite moment, but we needed some sandbags for photo equipment. Do you all remember this?
Yeah.
We had to, you know, so like the week before, we're running around trying to get sandbags to hold the tripods down for the photo equipment. And you remember what happened when they came with these bags that didn't have sand in them?
What?
Well, you asked for the sandbags.
Were you there?
I vaguely remember.
So these bags arrived, they're empty, they don't have sand in them. And Margarita's like, there's no sand in them. And the workers were like, you know, well, I don't know. We're just delivering them. Where do we get sand? And she just pointed into the desert. It was like, right there.
Oh, no. Oh, my God.
And an hour later, they came back filled with sand.
Oh, my God.
I do remember that. Yeah.
Anyway.
I don't know if we reply to your questions. Are we replying to your questions?
You did, actually, okay. Yeah.
No, what was the question?
It was what convinced you to become coach.
Okay.
And you did.
I convinced Marco.
Yes.
Basically, yeah.
I think I begged.
Yeah, Marco convinced, Michael convinced Marco to be co-chair.
It's always interesting to know more about the behind the scenes. The SMEM can create powerful connections and bridges between communities. I think one of them is related to the graphic designer of the conference and program that won an AIGA prize, Lauren Thompson.
In 2004, was a freshman in my art as process class at the University of Iowa.
Oh.
And she went on to study graphic design. So I just had her in this one class in my first semester teaching after graduate school. John was a colleague at the University of Iowa, and just as a small world story, 10 years later, I found myself working at VCU in Richmond on my way to coming here. Mm. John and his wife were moved from Iowa to Richmond to work at VCU Richmond as well, and Lauren, this former student of mine, was a visiting fellow in graphic design at VCU Richmond. So all of our worlds came back. And Marco, maybe from a previous life.
I've never been to Richmond.
By a previous life in Italy, I think my relatives live next door to his or something. So it's all connected, and you can't escape these kind of crazy coincidences.
So what would you say was the DNA for your Tasmim? And by that, I mean the main components that made the conference what it is, its unique identity.
honestly, if I look back at all the quality of the speaker that was selected, that mm-hmm. was incredible. And mm-hmm. actually, it was even too packed, if I think about it, because each mm-hmm. one of those speaker could have a day on his own to present his work mm-hmm. and to discuss with the audience and to have feedback and to interact. And actually, that happened. So it happened that a lot of the speaker, we thought they were going to leave, honestly, after mm-hmm. the first day, but no, they came back and they were very active in triggering conversation and being engaged. And what was good was that they were coming, it was before the blockade, we were just before the blockade. So they were coming, there was a guy from Saudi Arabia, mm-hmm. a person from Kuwait, and different other people. We had a lot of visitors from Bahrain that mm-hmm. registered for the conference. So it was really a moment where the region was interested in what we were doing, which is one of the mandate of Tasmin as well. So that was a great thing that happened. Unfortunately, then the blockade started. Yeah. So all the contacts that we were able to establish, we could not follow through. So I was invited mm-hmm. to go to Bahrain, and then they didn't reply the email after that. Because the blockade happened. But definitely the level of the speaker was amazing in a way. So,
and to follow up on that, another mandate of Tasmim is that it involves, or that it's relevant to every part of VCU. Mm-hmm. So every department. So one of the things we did that I think was also a first was that we solicited each department to give us a list of two or three speakers that they would like to invite. And then from there, we chose the final choice. But I guess the point is that the speaker selection was a collaborative effort between the co-chairs and the departments, where they were able to be involved with who we were bringing as a speaker. So that was a good collaboration. And I think as enjoyable as the workshops were for me, that they were ongoing, they were also different than previous Tasmims and ones since, where the workshops were really more like classroom, time-sensitive lessons. But Marco had this idea to make our Tasmim a little bit more like a maker fair, where the workshops were just timeless and anyone could kind of come in, check it out for a minute or 5 hours, up to them. And so that brought a different energy to the building as well. And I think the combination of that workshop mode and the high qualities of speakers we had was really a great balance.
If I think back now, I think that Tasmin was offering different opportunities for people to experience it. So there was the very intellectual talk that would appeal to a certain kind of people, maybe more academic. There were some talks that were more academic, so people from academia attended the exhibition. But at the same time, there were actors or people that were more entertaining, and also the workshop were more open to it. So those were appealing maybe to other kind of people that were less interested into the academic discussion, but more into the fun of the presentation, or the fact that the workshop was quite engaging and nice to be in. So I think this kind of spectrum, I think, was a great achievement if I look back at that. So at the Tasmin, as Michael said, either because the school is asking to put importance on the student, so you need to make a structure so that the students, they have to be in a class and participate, and then the community as well. In our case, it was not possible, but I think it was a good thing that it was not possible. So we had to come up with a different format, and I think that was successful.
Okay. And one thing that we didn't mention, which I think was successful as well, was this. We set up the modulus conversations, and that was part of the portal to Richmond. And the idea with that is that we would have presenters from both schools in conversation with each other. So that's also in the catalog. And there are these really wonderful conversations between, you know, artists and designers from the different campuses. And you know, some of those relationships have extended beyond that single conversation. And I know for my part, having sat on a few different grant panels, that grants that have come, or requests that have come, or proposals that have come from VCUQ, I've known the names and I know what their research is because of Tasmea.
Okay. And another thing we didn't mention is also we had two exhibitions related to Tasmea, which of course, you know, we worked with the gallery for a faculty exhibition, and then Marco designed this wonderful bus structure for our student show, that both of those were up during the conference as well. So there was a real wide variety of things to take in, like Marco was saying, at many different levels.
Yeah, thank you. I think that's the end of the audio interview. Thank you, gentlemen, all for
one
attending.
More thing, maybe, is that definitely we have to acknowledge Margarita's contribution to this lecture, that she's not here today. She was not listed as a co-chair, because I think it's only a faculty can be a co-chair.
Oh.
But we could not probably do it without her. Could not have done it without her.
Okay.
She was amazing, very resourceful, and positive in solving all our problems on the ground and off the ground. So
definitely. Shout out to Margarita. Yes, definitely. Shout out to her. And
could not have happened without Margarita. Where would the sand for the sandbags come from?
Exactly. And when you see the Harley ride in, you'll know.
Oh my God, that's such an iconic moment. Honestly, like you're telling me about, I'm like, wow. But yeah. Thank you all, and I'll definitely shout out to Margarita, and but again, thank you all for being here today and sharing all of these amazing moments about Tasmea, and it was nice seeing you all. meeting you, John, for the first time.
Hey, John, good seeing you, John. Yeah.
Great to see you all.
Bye, John. Great to see you.
Bye.
See you again soon.
Have a great day.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Dear audience, thank you all so much for tuning in. This audio interview series is an initiative by the gallery at VCU Arts Qatar. If you would like to know more about us and what we do, please visit our website and follow us on social media at www.vcuqgallery.com and at vcuq_gallery. You can find them linked below. Also, special thank you to Riham Mohammed for providing us with the music for this audio interview. Take care.